The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today, we're going to talk about the best character meals at Disney World. That's coming up on this episode 123 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 123. I'm excited to talk about character meals today. One thing that happens on every Disney World trip is I come away excited about something new. And on my recent trip, I came away excited about two things. One of them was Art of Animation, which I talked about in the last podcast. The other was Garden Grill. And it was one of the only character meals I'd never had. And so I thought on this trip, I wanted to go ahead and try it. And I was trying to think of why I'd never been there before. And I remembered it's because they used to only serve dinner. It's located inside of Epcot in the Future World section. And usually I would have dinner in the World Showcase. I've actually eaten dinner at almost every restaurant in the World Showcase, and there are lots of them, and just never made it to Garden Grill for dinner. But now it's open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So it was a lot easier to fit into the schedule and made a lot more sense with the touring plans and everything. And so I wanted to talk about it today because I was shocked at how much I loved it. You're going to hear me mention it over and over and over again. And I was excited when I posted a video from there that was really funny, like cute moment we had. And lots of people on Facebook said that they had had a similar experience at Garden Grill. So I feel, you know, better about recommending it. It wasn't just me having a good experience, but lots of people have. So I'll talk about that and all of the character meals in just a bit. Just a reminder to follow along on social media. Not only is there the Facebook page, which is at WDW Prep School on there, but I'm also on Instagram and Twitter. I've used other ones as well, which I have mentioned on the podcast, but it's just hard to keep up with all of them at once. When I'm in the parks, my phone is always out, always busy, and I can't post on Snapchat and Periscope and record the video that I'm going to post on Instagram and Facebook, you know, so I just have to pick. And the places I tend to spend the most time are Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and also on Pinterest. So follow me, I'm WDW Prep School on all those platforms. And I also wanted to mention something I don't think I've ever brought up on the podcast, which is that my son, who some of you may know, is an app developer. He is 14, and when he was, I think, 13, he created a countdown app, which is WDW Prep Countdown, so you can count down to your trip, and it puts reminders on your calendar on your phone so that you know when to do things and allows you to use your own photos and that kind of stuff. He did that when he was 13, and then he recently released a WDW Prep packing list, which I find incredibly handy and used on my last trip. So the packing list that's on the website is one of the most popular things. You know, people pin it and share it and use it all the time. And it's the same list that I've used for a decade. It has evolved because, you know, technology has evolved. So the things you have to pack has evolved. But basically, it's been the same list I've been using for a decade. And every time our family goes on a trip, I use that packing list at every single trip. I use it because it helps me remember little things that I often will forget. And it was really nice this time on my last trip to use the packing list app, because I was able to take my phone with me as I was walking around the house, throwing things in my bag and, you know, check off all the little things that I had packed. And it allows you to customize your list, add your own things, remove things, etc. I really like it. So he used my packing list to develop the app. And so it's the same information, but in a handier form. And you can find that. It's only for Apple because he's an Apple programmer, iOS developer, and it's called WDW Prep Packing List. So look for that and might come in handy for your trip. As usual, I will have a quick tip of the day and a little bit of news after we talk about the main topic. So let's dive into that. First of all, I want to talk very briefly about all of the character meals at Disney World. There actually aren't that many character meals. You might think that there were a ton because, you know, as you're researching, it seems like a lot of them pop up, but there's actually only around a dozen or so restaurants that have character meals. They do tend to be very popular and they're often the most difficult one reservations to get, but there aren't too many of them. So let's talk about all the different options that you have. And you have basically 1 to 3 in each park, and then you also have the rest of them in various resorts. So let's start with Magic Kingdom. Magic Kingdom has Crystal Palace, which serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and has Winnie the Pooh characters at it, and that's a buffet. It has Cinderella's Royal Table, which is in the castle with the princesses. They also have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And the last one at Magic Kingdom is Be Our Guest Dinner. And that one's a little bit different because most character meals have characters that come around to your table and you take pictures with them. But at Be Our Guest, you just eat at a table like normal. And then if you want to go meet the Beast, you can go in a different room and take pictures with him. But the Beast is at Be Our Guest at dinner. Now, at Epcot, there are two options. One is Akershus, which is princesses, and that's in the Norway section. And some people might understandably assume that Anna and Elsa will be there because they're princesses in Norway and all that. They're not there, though. It is other princesses, Ariel, Aurora, Belle, Cinderella. The list kind of changes, but it does not include Anna and Elsa. The other one at Epcot is Garden Grill, and that's located in the Future World section in the same building as Soarin'. So it's kind of a nice thing to, if you want to schedule it in your touring plans to ride Soarin' around lunchtime, then you could go there at lunchtime or breakfast, whatever. But you can often schedule them together just for convenience sake. At Hollywood Studios, there is Hollywood and Vine, which has breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Breakfast and lunch have Disney Junior characters, which is, for those of you that have little ones who like Sophia the First, Doc McStuffins, Tandy, Manny, and Jake, that's a great opportunity to go meet them. You can see them also at the Disney Junior live show at Hollywood Studios, but it's the only chance to interact with them at a meal. So breakfast and lunch are a good idea there for those characters. Hollywood and Vine Dinner has Minnie and Pals, so the characters change for dinner, but Disney Junior is breakfast and lunch. The only one at Animal Kingdom is Tusker House, which has breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And that's the classic characters, Mickey and Goofy and Donald and Daisy. And they are in safari gear, which, you know, they fit in with the theme of Animal Kingdom. Let's hop over to the resorts now. First of all, there's a lot of things available at the Grand Floridian. So let's talk about 1900 Park Fair, which is a buffet there, and they serve breakfast and dinner. Interesting thing about 1900 Park Fair is that they have kind of just a random mixture of characters. It's different at breakfast and dinner. Breakfast often has Alice, Mad Hatter, Mary Poppins, Tigger, and Winnie the Pooh. Very random. Dinner often has Prince Charming, Cinderella, and the stepsisters and Lady Tremaine all there. So again, not as random, but breakfast is definitely random. Also at the Grand Floridian are two kind of special parties. One is called the Wonderland Tea Party, and they serve cupcakes and tea, and Alice and Mad Hatter are there, but it's only for kids. It lasts for an hour. It's only kids, but a lot of kids do love it. And it only, because it only lasts for an hour and kids are the only ones that attend, a lot of times people don't tend to do it because they're looking for things for the whole family. It is not on the dining plan. This next one is another one that's not on the dining plan. It is also a tea party. It's called the Perfectly Princess Tea Party. And this one is very expensive. It's $250. And it gets one adult and one child in. And you get breakfast tea and you have a doll that you get. I think most of the cost is the fancy doll that you get. And Aurora is there. So it's a, you know, nice it's well reviewed. It's just very expensive. It's not on the dining plan. So that is, those two tea parties are, along with 1900 Park Fair, are at the Grand Floridian. Also in the Magic Kingdom area resorts is Ohana. Ohana for breakfast is a character meal that has Lilo, Stitch, Mickey Mouse, and Pluto. And that's at the Polynesian. And then if we move around the Magic Kingdom monorail resort loop, the Contemporary has Chef Mickey's, which is probably the character meal we've done the most, just because it's really fun to start off your trip riding the monorail into the Contemporary. You're near Magic Kingdom, but not inside. And you get to go in and interact with the classic characters at Chef Mickey's. Food is not great, but they do have a fun atmosphere with the classic characters. So I think it's a fun way to kick off a trip or end a trip. And they do serve breakfast, brunch, and dinner now. They're calling it brunch, but it's really lunch hours. But to be exact, I will say brunch, just like Disney does. There is also, if we're moving over to the Epcot area resorts, Beach Club has Cape May Cafe, and they serve breakfast and dinner there, but only the breakfast is characters. And there you will have Donald Duck, Goofy, and Minnie, and they're wearing their beach gear at Cape May Cafe, which is appropriate. There is also, while we're over at the Epcot Air Resort's Garden Grove, is at the Swan. And the Swan is not technically a Disney resort, but they do have a character meal that includes Pluto, Chip, Dale, and Goofy. Since it's not a Disney resort, it is also not on the dining plan. See, what else do we have for resorts? At Fort Wilderness, we have Mickey's Backyard Barbecue. That's actually a dinner show, and it has Chip, Dale, Goofy, Mickey Mouse, and Minnie Mouse. There are a lot of pros and cons to Mickey's Backyard Barbecue dinner. It's only offered sometimes. It's only offered seasonally, certain days of the week. Getting to anything at Fort Wilderness is a little bit tricky compared to other resorts, but the food is really good and the character interaction is really good. So you have to kind of balance that out. I think if I was staying at Fort Wilderness or Wilderness Lodge or anything that was sort of close to it, I would definitely consider it. Otherwise, maybe not. And I think I've listed all of the character meals. So what happens when I try to analyze anything is I pop it in a spreadsheet and I start to kind of quantify it in different categories. And that helps me see what sort of floats to the top as kind of an overall great, experience. So I've done this for resorts for my own purposes. And now I did it with the character meals. But before I give you my best overall character meals, I want to break it down into different categories because some of these might be more important to you than others. So I want to give you different options here. So first of all, we have best food. The best, most of the character meals are buffets, and most of the time you are there for the character experience and not the food, but some of them actually do have good food. So I wanted to tell you about those. I have Garden Grill. I told you you're going to be hearing that name a lot. Garden Grill is great. It has family style food. So everybody gets the same thing and you can order as much as you want of their fixed menu. And it is delicious. It depends on when you're there, but they have a breakfast menu and then a lunch and dinner menu, but very tasty. Highly recommend it. That's a family style one. Tusker House has fantastic food. That's at Animal Kingdom. It is a buffet, and the food there has some American foods, but also some African inspired food. We went on the Wild Africa Trek, which is a tour that you can do at Animal Kingdom, and the food that was provided was so amazing, and it was actually made at Tusker House. So Tusker House in general has great food. Next for best food is Akershus, and it's Norwegian for lunch and dinner, and not everybody likes that. So if you don't consider your family adventurous eaters, you may not like their menu options. However, breakfast is pretty much a home run for most people. It's more of an American breakfast. And so I really like the food at Akershus. I have a few more to mention in the best food category. Next is Cape May Cafe, which I mentioned earlier is at the Beach Club. I like the breakfast buffet there. And Crystal Palace, which is at Magic Kingdom, that is also a buffet. I happen to like this meal better than most and thought it was really tasty. It's kind of mixed reviews though. Most of these that I'm telling you are things that not only I liked, but I know other people like. Crystal Palace is kind of mixed. So I had a good experience not too long ago, but sometimes it's not so great and gets negative reviews. So you have to just roll the dice on that one, I think. And the last one I want to mention is Ohana, which is the breakfast at the Polynesian. Ohana, you can pretty much count on having good food all the time, and that includes for their character breakfast. So next up, let's talk about the best character meals for Disney Dining Plan in terms of like providing the best value. This is a whole other like tangent that we have to go on. We have to talk about the dining plan. So I do a dining plan analysis once a year where I break down every restaurant along with Heather. I have lots of help from Heather. We break down the value of all of the dining plan credits and try to figure out what the best use of your credits are. And the bottom line on the dining plan is that it doesn't really make a ton of financial sense for most people. It used to, but Disney keeps sort of eroding the benefits. And so really Disney's making a killing on the dining plan, but we aren't. And if you want to get the dining plan because it feels all inclusive, makes you more relaxed on your trip, go ahead. But if you're doing things just for financial reasons and trying to get a good bargain, most of the time the dining plan is not a good deal. However, one of the exceptions to that is if you're going to do lots of character meals, because they tend to be the best values, at least some of them are, best values on the dining plan. I'm going to tell you the list of character meals that are also on my charts as being good values. And you're going to notice maybe one thing that is not on the list. So here's the short list. One is Garden Grill. Another is Akershus. I think Akershus is actually the top table service value over of any restaurant. Crystal Palace, Hollywood and Vine Dinner, Chef Mickey's, and 1900 Park Fair. And that's basically just taking the price of a meal there and saying you're going to get a lot more for your credit with these. Noticeably absent from this list is Cinderella's Royal Table. It costs 2 credits when you're on the dining plan. But if you consider that it's 2 credits and the price of eating there is between $57 and $70, then that is not as good a value as some of these other ones. Because, for instance, Akershus is $44 to $51 a meal, and it's only 1 credit. So your value of a credit at Akershus is $44 to $51. Your value of a credit at Cinderella's Royal Table is $57, $60, and $70 divided in half. So you're talking about like $28 to $35 for that. So you're getting, you know, a better value at Akershus. Anything that's 2 credits is usually actually not a great value of a credit. So those are great values. And I'll have these in the show notes. Don't feel like you have to memorize them. But also you can look at the charts I have on my dining plan credit analysis and see what the best values are on the dining plan. The next category is the best classic character meals, and that just means that at least one of the Fab Five is in attendance, and because they're not, you know, every meal has a different mix of characters. So first up again is Garden Grill, and at Garden Grill, you can typically see Mickey, Pluto, and Chip and Dale. Chip and Dale are personal favorites because they're so fun and ornery. Tusker House, which I mentioned earlier, is classic characters dressed in safari gear, and that has usually Daisy, Donald, Goofy, and Mickey. Then we have Chef Mickey's, which is usually Donald, Goofy, Mickey, Minnie, and Pluto. That is the 5 characters there. That's about as classic as you can get. If you're looking for one classic character experience, Chef Mickey's would be the best bet. And then finally, Ohana, which has Mickey and, hold on, I'm looking for the list so I don't say the wrong thing. It's Lilo, Stitch, Mickey, and Pluto at Ohana for breakfast. And next up is the best princess meal. And I know a lot of people assume it's the castle, assume it's Cinderella's Royal Table, but Akershus is my pick for sure. It's hard to convey the why you might not want to eat in the castle, because it's, you know, the castle. And I can totally get it. It's the castle versus this other thing in Epcot that you're not quite sure about. We've done both, and I just thought the Akershus experience was better. It's hard to beat taking pictures in front of the castle before you go in, dressing up as a princess to go into the castle, eating inside the castle. It's, you know, it's an experience. I get it. But in terms of the value for your dollar, in terms of the experience and how much fun it is, in terms of not feeling hurried, you know, just all these different things, I think Akershus is actually a better overall experience than Cinderella's Royal Table. And finally, let's talk about the best overall. I bet you're going to guess my number one. Best overall is Garden Grill. And that's because it really hits all the categories. It's good food. It's good experience. It's a good value on the dining plan, or even if you're paying out of pocket. It's just best. And it was the most comfortable experience I've ever had at a character meal. Most character meals are so hurried and they're so busy because you're just in a big dining room with lots of people and they're mostly buffets. So lots of people are walking back and forth to their table. But at Garden Grill, you sit down at a table and the characters come to you one. You're in a row. The Garden Grill rotates very slowly once per meal. You don't even really notice it. And so you're in a ring. There's an inner ring and an outer ring, and the characters just visit the tables one at a time. So you don't feel rushed, awkward. They're fun characters. I mean, Mickey's always cute, but Chip and Dale really, to me, put it over the top because they're really ornery. And I think character meals are sometimes really awkward, but I didn't feel awkward at Garden Grill. I was enjoying my food. We saw the character 6 times on our particular day. It was just really great. And I just feel like most people would get a lot out of it. And now that it's available for 3 meals a day, there's plenty of chances to get it. It's easier to get a reservation there than almost anywhere. And the fact that it's also my top pick, I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. Akershus is my second pick for best overall. For some of the reasons I've already mentioned, it's not only a good value on the dining plan, and I happen to like the food, especially the breakfast, but I think the interaction with the princesses is more fun, and I just think I just came away with an overall good experience and like vibe from our time at Akershus. Then we have Tusker House, which is at Animal Kingdom once again, and it used to be really easy to get in there. The word had not quite gotten out about it. I think it's gotten a lot more popular than it used to be. I still think it's a really good idea to eat at Tusker House. Good food, good characters. It's not as hard to get as some of the others. I just highly recommend it. Two more on the list. One is Ohana. Anything at Ohana is going to be good, and that includes the breakfast. And if you happen to like the characters that are there, including Lilo and Stitch, then that's a great option for you. Finally, Cape May Cafe. If you're staying in the Boardwalk area especially, you have easy access to the Beach Club, and this is a character meal that's inside there, and it's just a little bit more relaxed than some of the others, and good food and cute characters. So I really like that one for it to kind of round out the top 5 character meals, in my opinion. A couple of things to note about character meals. They can be booked strategically for pre-park opening reservations. So a lot of times the parks open at 9, but the restaurants open at 8. And so if you make reservations in the parks at 8, you can get in early. And if you happen to get done quickly, you can actually position yourself to do things like go towards Seven Dwarfs Mine Train to get in line, or right now on an Elsa, who may not be there forever, but they are right now. If you're over at Hollywood Studios, I actually have been told recently that people have been able to sign up for Jedi training at 8 a.m. when they went into the park. They didn't have to wait till park opening at 9 to go over and sign up for it. They actually were able to go sign up and then go to breakfast. So that would be a great thing. The only caveat here, sometimes Disney kind of last minute changes park openings to 8 a.m. So then you're eating while the park's open, and that could be super disappointing. I often recommend people make 2 reservations, one at 8 a.m. and one around 10:30 or so. So if the park does decide to open at 8, you can be there at 8 and have a couple of hours of touring before you sit down and eat at 10:30. But you should cancel the one you're not going to be using. So if a couple of weeks before your trip, you know it's still a 9 a.m. opening, it's pretty likely that it's not going to open at 8, and you can go ahead and cancel one of your reservations that you're not going to use. And finally, with something worth mentioning, since we're talking about this early breakfast stuff especially, is the transportation. This is a hotly debated topic. Disney cast members often answer these questions so incorrectly. I just said on my Facebook page recently, repeat after me, I will not use Disney's online chat. I will not use Disney's online chat. And that's because they often tell you wrong things, especially about the transportation. So here's the bottom line. If you make a dining reservation, Disney will have a way to get you there, especially if it's at a park, because you're at your resort and, you know, they have transportation to take you there. The official line from Disney is the park transportation opens an hour before park opening. And that is true for most people. I mean, that's, they want everybody to think that an hour beforehand is the time to start boarding the buses or whatever to get to the parks. But the fact is, it starts before that because they're trying to get you there for the character meals. And they just, I guess, don't want to put that information out there because they're afraid that people going to the parks are going to use the buses intended for the character meals or the whatever. Anyway, but they do open early. So for instance, buses to the Magic Kingdom open at 6:30. Buses to Animal Kingdom open around 7 or 7:15. Same for Hollywood Studios and Epcot. So the latest is around 7 or 7:15 that those buses start. So you will get there for it. I don't care what the online chat people say. I don't care what any, I don't care. The fact is that the buses will show up to take you there. One question that came up this week was, if I'm staying at a monorail resort and I need to get to, for instance, Epcot, which normally you could do by monorail, can I get there on the monorail? The Epcot monorail usually does not open until around 8 a.m. And if you have an 8 a.m. breakfast reservation, that is a problem. But usually if the monorail is not an option to get you there, the resorts will have a bus to take you. And even the cast members at the hotels often will tell you the wrong information, but they should have a bus there if the monorail is not. You could always, if it makes you feel safer as a backup plan to call a taxi or an Uber to get you there. But they should have a way, either monorail or bus, to get you from a Magic Kingdom area resort to Epcot. All right. I think that is plenty about character meals today. We have a couple of news items to talk about, and then we'll wrap it up with a quick tip of the day. First of all, I told you last time that the Frozen Ever After Ride at Epcot had a May 27th opening date that had been told to the cast members. And then after that podcast, it was removed. So Disney apparently has changed their mind and they removed the May 27th opening date. It is believed that it's had some delays and that it will open later in the summer. So we don't know when yet, but Disney has changed the May 27th date. The other thing is that there don't appear to be any FastPass Plus reservations for Wishes available after April 20th. Wishes is the fireworks show at Magic Kingdom. And if you get a FastPass Plus for it, it gives you a viewing area that you can enter so you don't have to worry about finding a spot. But there aren't any available after April 20th. Disney hasn't said that they're doing away with it, but it is widely believed that they are. I don't know if that's due to lack of popularity. I'm not sure, but they just aren't available right now. And finally, Disney just started offering premium parking. So for an additional $10, I think it is, they will allow you to park in a lot that's closer to the parks, basically just a, you know, guaranteed way to park up close without, you know, usually the people that are there first get to park up close, but now you can pay to do that. So I think that's maybe a testing thing that they're doing. And if it proves to be popular, I'm sure that it will stick around. Finally, the quick tip of the day. This is about the people who are considering booking rooms at the Polynesian. So the normal standard rooms at the Polynesian, there's a section of the Polynesian that is standard, like the normal hotel. And then there's a section that is called the villas. And this is true of a lot of the deluxe hotels. They all kind of have these two different sections with different kinds of rooms and booking, you know, methods and that kind of stuff. Villas are usually, they're Disney Vacation Club villas. People that are owners, it's basically like a timeshare. They own points. They can use their points to stay there, but they can also be booked through Disney directly for just people like you and me that are not DVC owners. And you can rent points from owners to stay there. So I'm putting a lot into this quick tip, but I have to explain it in order for this quick tip to make sense. So anybody considering staying at the Polynesian in a standard room should also look at the studio rooms in the villa section, because it's almost always a better idea. So first of all, they are bigger. The studio rooms are bigger than the standard rooms, which is unusual. At most of the resorts, these studio rooms are smaller than the standard rooms. But in this case, the studios are bigger. They have similar beds. The standard rooms have two queens and a twin day bed. The studios have a queen sofa bed and a twin pull down. So similar bed configuration. The bathrooms are quite a bit different. There's a full bath in the standard rooms, as you might expect. On the studio side, there's a full bath, but there's also an extra shower. So it's kind of like one and a half baths, but instead of being an extra toilet, it's an extra shower, which is weird. But, you know, if you can get an extra shower and make it easier for everybody in the room to get ready, then why not? Price-wise, they're very comparable on price if you are booking directly through Disney. Like the nightly room rate, it varies between about $500 and $800 a night, and that's the full rate. Usually there's a promotion available. They're very similar in price, but if you're renting points through a service like David's DVC Rentals, which is who I use, you could get it as inexpensively as $224 to $500 a night if anything was open there. It's kind of hard to get a reservation. If you do want to rent points and get that lower rate, you're going to have to do it 7 months ahead of time because they go quickly. Both rooms have a maximum number of people, the same number of max people, which is up to five people in each room. Plus, you could have a child in a crib that's under three. Some other information that could help you in deciding: the standard rooms do have a club level option you could upgrade to if you like the club level amenities. They are closer to the main building at the Polynesian, closer to the main pool. Some of them have balconies and patios, some of those rooms. On the villas side with the studio, all the rooms have a kitchenette in them. All of them have a balcony and a patio, and they are closer to the ticket and transportation center, which has the monorail to Epcot. So if you walk to the ticket and transportation center to take the monorail to Epcot, that's often faster than boarding the monorail at the Polynesian, going over the ticket and transportation center and getting the other monorail to Epcot. Sorry, I've thrown lots of facts at you for this quick tip of the day. I do have a graphic that I designed to help you with the side-by-side comparison that I will include in the show notes, and you can kind of review the stats that I've just said there, because it's kind of a lot to take in audio form. So I think that's going to wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For more information on the show, you can go to the website and click on the podcast tab, or you can review the information in the podcast app that you are using to listen. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.
This is your moment. Your moment to move forward and make progress. It's time to see where an education can take you. For over 130 years, Strayer University has been at the forefront of change, offering programs that help students like you get ahead and stay ahead, so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.